This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, it is. Let's do it. What a beautiful Saturday here in New York City. Started off messy, cold and rainy, but we've gotten through it. Ty Butler going until 5:30, and you know what we're looking forward to. You know what we're gearing up toward. That is game one between the Knicks and the Sixers at the Garden. Pre-game coverage getting underway right here on 98.7 ESPN at 5:30. Then, of course, you got tip-off just after 6 with Pat O'Keefe and Monica McNutt. Speaking of Monica McNutt, she's going to join the program at some point. So looking forward to hearing from her at 4 o'clock. Nick Wright's going to be on the show. So there's a whole lot to do, Very, very busy weekend. And we'll start here. Listen, Juan Soto last night and Francisco Lindor, the combination of those two players with the Yankees and the Mets, set the tone for the weekend. Soto hit the go-ahead home run to help the Yankees come back and beat the Rays to take the first of a three-game set. Then you had Lindor, who had been struggling all season long, getting a big home run last night in L.A. against the Dodgers. So the Mets, after their 0-5 start, have somehow won 11 of 14 games, and they're sitting pretty. So Soto sets the tone. Lindor sets the tone. Rangers, Knicks, what y'all got cooking? Y'all know what time it is. Y'all better act like y'all know what time it is. Y'all know what's up. Because this has a chance to be a very, very dope weekend. Because I mentioned the Yankees right now, they are in action, scoreless in the top of the ninth inning. Shout out to John Sterling, man, going out on top his way. Legend. I didn't get a chance to check out the entirety of the ceremony, but best believe that's on the docket. I was driving, so, you know, I'll check it out later. But did get an opportunity to hear him for a half inning join Susan Waldman. So, you know, great to see him go out, quote unquote, on top. Best of love. Well wishes to him. And, you know, we're obviously going to miss him. But the Yankees right now scoreless in the Bronx against the Rays. Mets coming up 4 o'clock. Nationally televised game against the Dodgers. So we've got a chance to have the Yankees win a series, Mets win a series, keep it rolling. And then you've got game one for the Knicks and the Rangers. Today the Knicks, the Rangers get it popping tomorrow. So let's do it. Let's do it. I want to hear from all the Knicks and Rangers fans at 800-919-3776. As we start with the basketball, one of my favorite parts about this series in particular is that it is unquestionably a failed season for whoever loses. The Knicks lose, I mean, that is a catastrophe. Sixers, seven seed be damned, feel the same way. They cannot lose this series. And rarely do you get those type of stakes in round one of the postseason. And I get like, you know, everyone's going to be disappointed when they lose. But these are two teams, because of how the bracket is, you know, shaped up in this conference, legitimately feel like they can get to the conference finals and challenge the behemoth that is the Boston Celtics. So let's start with the Knicks. And, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. There's been like this season-long campaign by the Knicks fan feeling like they have longed for respect that they haven't gotten. And now it's money time, because for different parts of the season, you were mad at Becky Hammon. Candace Parker caught some smoke. Kenny Smith, y'all been going at him. Charles Barkley, for this perceived disrespect of this team that you guys have fallen in love with. It's not like you started the year thinking we could win a championship, but got to a point in the season, you were hot enough to think, oh, maybe this could be our year. And you didn't feel like you got the proper credit and adulation from, you know, those national media heads, and it caused some problems for y'all emotionally. There are people who right now feel like Jalen Brunson should be the MVP. How about Tom Thibodeau getting love for Coach of the Year? And it's a legitimate question. Is Leon Rose the Executive of the Year? How about Dante DiVincenzo? Did he get robbed of Most Improved Player? So if you think that this team is deserving of all of those accolades, and you're the number two seed hosting the Sixers, who barely won their play-in game, You cannot lose this series. Under no circumstance could you digest losing this series and it be okay going forward. Because you got to pick one. Either you think the Knicks massively overachieved and people are, you know, correct in elevating them to that tier contender, or you're saying, why not us? And if you're on the side of why not us, then you know, again, under no circumstance can you lose this series. Anything short of, at the very least, getting to where you were last year is an absolute failure. So the stakes are high. And you can't use injuries as an excuse, because we now know, going into this series, you're not going to have Julius Randle. And you're still picking them to win. There were folks saying they're better off without him. Not going to miss him a bit. I don't agree with that, but if that's your stance, then you then can't, at the end of this series, talk about injuries. So this is, you know, for lack of a better phrase, for all intents and purposes, all the marbles. Because whatever you think their ceiling is, you cannot, with, you know, good conscience, say, yeah, one and done in the playoffs sits right with me. It absolutely doesn't. And then for the Sixers, welcome to the understanding of what it means to employ the MVP of the league. Because I got so annoyed watching Heat Sixers the other night, because I'm thinking to myself, like, I didn't really hear the national media going hard on Joel Embiid. Like, the smoke that y'all have for Jokic, oh, winning MVPs can't get it done in the playoffs, I didn't hear any of that for Embiid. And now we've kind of, like, built in this excuse that he's hurt. He's playing less than 70%. And how do people figure out what the percentage is? Like, you just watch somebody, and it's like, yeah, he's about 80%. You have no idea what percentage he is. But it was like this built-in excuse. And for all of my years watching basketball, you know, MVPs are held to a higher standard than that. So I don't want to hear about injuries. Philly hasn't been to a conference finals since 2001, when AI got them in that series to the finals against the Lakers, where they lost 4-1. Joel Embiid is universally regarded as one of the league's best players. Injuries be damned, start acting like one. Last year was an embarrassment for him in the playoffs, where he, after winning the MVP, saw his scoring average drop by 10 points, and he was awful in the final two games of that series against the Celtics. There's no Harden excuse. There's no Doc Rivers excuse. The path is now open for the Sixers to winning multiple playoff rounds. Media members have become, like, so obsessed with putting Philly in the conversations of being a contender. And, you know, Joel Embiid has done nothing in the playoffs to garner that respect or that benefit of the doubt. So he better not get bounced in round one. For both the Knicks and the Sixers, all of a sudden, you look at the Eastern Conference, the window has swung open. I hope I'm wrong, because I picked them to win the East, but I don't think we're going to see Giannis again this year. Again, I hope I'm wrong. But the way he went down, the fact that he's been dealing with, like, this Achilles issue seemingly all season long, I just don't think we're going to see him again. And that essentially spells the end for Milwaukee. The Cavs, I'm watching them right now. They're winning this game against the Magic. They're not built for playoff success. And you're already hearing rumors about Donovan potentially getting traded. That's not a team that can win. It's a lot to ask a 21-year-old Paolo Banchero spearhead a deep playoff run. Jimmy Butler, I know the Heat won last night, but Butler is out with an MCL injury. I don't really give them too much of a shot of making any noise. And now you have the Celtics on the other side of the bracket. So what does that add up to? Both the Knicks and the Sixers have to, with good reason, feel like they can get to the conference finals and challenge Boston. And then the Celtics, they get there without being tested. That could help you, because you punch them in the mouth and then who knows what happens the rest of that series. So there's so much to gain, a ton to lose, which sets up a gorgeous first-round matchup between, I didn't realize this, two teams who hadn't met in the playoffs in 35 years. Got to go back to 1989. Philly, New York, basketball teams, both basketball cities. I haven't met in the playoffs in 35 years. Go figure. So I leave you with this. Game one, more important, for which team? You can't call it a must-win. It's the first game of the series. But which team would you say, like, there's more of an incentive? Like, there's more pressure on them to take this game today. Is it the Knicks or is it the Sixers? Hit us up, 800-919-3776. We're on Twitter, at Ty D. Butler. Instagram as well. We're going till 5:30. Rocking and rolling. I'm excited. It's game one of the playoffs in the NBA. And you know it's my favorite time of the year. We're going to get to the baseball. Yankees in action. Mets also in action. You got the draft next week. So let's do it. Let's cook for the next 2.5 hours right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
You're watching Sixers Heat on Wednesday night, and it's like, who's the more favorable matchup for us? Is it Philly with a hampered Embiid, or is it Miami? Like, who do we want to play? Now, you could get into the whole, we need revenge, the Heat knocked us out last year, or, you know, Sixers ending the process, as you heard in that promo, one of the callers said, you know, we're going to end the process, so that's a pretty cool, I guess, slogan to, you know, run around with. But did you get the matchup you wanted? I will say this. Jalen Brunson, we know, is, if not already one, ascending toward becoming a superstar. And this is a big series for him because, like, we know, regardless of how you perform in a regular season, and he was spectacular, you're ultimately going to be judged by how you produce in the playoffs. And this is a guy who comes in on a heater in April, gave you 36-9 on damn near 50% shooting. And you sometimes watched him and was like, yo, am I watching right now the best player in basketball? Not just overall in the season, not historically, but the Jalen Brunson that I watched in April, who climbed the rankings of MVP and to me should be first team All-NBA. Was I watching the best player in the league? It sometimes felt like that. You know, that he had the 60-point game against the Spurs, and earlier this year he had the 50-point game in Phoenix. So, to me, what was most impressive was, like, as the load of responsibility increased, his production got better to the point where he reached that apex level of the conversation being changed to, you know, could he be the best player on a championship team? It garnered attention and respect across the league. But he understands to whom much is given, much is required. He's not going to be under the same microscope that Embiid will be because, you know, once you hit that MVP status, like the level changes and the commentary surrounding you changes. But he has to perform and, you know, his greatness will be held against him if he doesn't. I think he will. And, you know, I'm picking the Knicks to win this series in 7 games, partly because of Embiid's questions around his health. But the other part is I just think Jalen Brunson is going to be the best player in the series. And, you know, typically you see that is where it's won in basketball. You have the best player in the series. For the most part, you typically win that series. So I've got the Knicks in 7. I'm excited to watch Jalen Brunson on this level continue the just incredible, remarkable season that he's had. And, you know, he's been anointed, and rightfully so. Like, that, you just watched one of the best seasons in franchise history. Like, that's not an overstatement. That's not hyperbole. That's just how, you know, impactful he was. Lost his best player, his best teammate, lost his second best teammate. Just think about that. RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly both get traded. Like, midway through the season, two of his better scoring options, gone. OG comes in, gets hurt, loses Randle, and despite all that, he's going to finish top 5 in MVP voting. In a league that has Jokic and Giannis and Luka and SGA and KD and LeBron and Steph, he's going to be top 5. He's had one of the 5 best seasons in this league that is just littered with talent. So put that into context. 800-919-3776, leading off for us today. On the program, we go to Hollis and talk to Paul. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Ty. How you doing?
What's up, bro?
All right. I'm glad you recognized that Jalen has evolved. And I don't know if you remember, we a little while back, we had talked about him. And I said, he's that man. He was like, well, we got to see. Mm-hmm. Season's over now.
For some people, the season's just beginning. But, I mean, the regular season's over. Sure, yep.
Yeah, the regular season's over. Becky Hammon has said he's not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's getting egg on her face, too. I mean, he dug deep this season. He dug deep despite all of the things that were put up against him.
Yep.
His team, he dug deep. So I believe right now, as we approach these playoffs, we're going to see another level. He's going to go to another level.
And if that's true, man, I mean, can you go even higher than where he was this season, Paul? And I appreciate the call. Look, let's not misconstrue what Becky Hammon said. Like, I get it rubbed Knick fans the wrong way. And before we even get to that, because I thought about this too. So I low-key think that the Knick fan base, the contingent, you guys actually love when it's like the us against the world mentality. You don't want everyone on this bandwagon. You get like something about people not giving you the proper or what you perceive to be proper credit and respect publicly. Something about that fuels you in your fandom because you don't want everyone jumping on this bandwagon. So I think that serves as a catalyst for whatever the emotions that you go through over the course of a season or over the course of a game. I think that helps you, which is why I'm disappointed y'all allowing Kendrick Perkins to, be if the former Celtic. All of a sudden, he's the biggest Knick fan, and y'all are allowing that on your watch, which is just embarrassing to me. But Becky Hammon, her point was she doesn't think he can be the best player on a championship team. And now that we've seen, all of NBA history, it would suggest to you that a player like Brunson at that size can't be the best player on a championship team. Small guys to win titles as the best player. Isaiah Thomas, Steph Curry, that's the list. Now, AI got to the NBA Finals. Nash never got to the Finals, but, his teams were in contention. Like, you've seen little guys be great on teams, but outside of Steph and Isaiah Thomas, you've never seen them win championships. So I think that was her point, but he's been so great. He's kind of making you think differently. Maybe he can become that guy as we head to Jersey to talk to Billy. What's up, Billy?
Hey, how are you today?
Doing well, man. What's going on?
So I look at the Knicks, and I'm saying to myself, this team is deep. I mean, 1 through 10, Leon Rose, Tom Thibodeau, they've done a fantastic job of really assembling a juggernaut, and the only box that's not checked is obviously Randall not being there. But when you have a team stacked like that, I mean, I'm looking at the Sixer 1 through 10. I just don't see it. I mean, after Maxey, it just drops big time. There's
don't sleep on him, though. Don't sleep on him, man. Kelly Oubre's been balling for them this year. Buddy Hield can get hot. You saw Batum hit, 7 threes the other night. Paul Reed's good as a backup center, so they might not
have
like...
They have moments, but I'd rather take my forward and my power forward any day of the week.
Yeah, that's cool. There's a reason why you ended up as the number 2 seed, Billy. I ain't going to knock you for that.
Yeah. So, I mean, Embiid is way overrated. 9 years in the NBA, hasn't done anything. You just said it before. He hasn't even been to a conference final.
Yeah, that's a knock on him, and I appreciate the call, Billy. Let's not – so here's the thing that we have to – as we're getting ready for this series – mentally wrestle with, because the great players at some point break through, right? Like we saw Jokic, MVP, Giannis, it happened to him. What's held against Embiid is the playoff resume. It's just not what you want. You can't be that level of talent on that tier and not even get to a conference finals. And as Billy just mentioned, 9 years in the league and the story has been injuries and playoff flameouts. But the Sixers this year, if you're a Sixers fan, got you excited because they were 32-8 when he played. That's a 65-win pace. That's not to say they were going to win 65 games had he stayed healthy because, there are some lulls in the season. But there's a reason why he is who he is and why Vegas kind of feels like this series is evenly matched. The Sixers aren't your true 7 seed. If Embiid stays healthy, they're probably a 2 or a 3 seed. But like you said, man, it's just hard to, after what we've seen from Joel and the other night, the first three quarters, he was great in the fourth quarter, but the first three quarters, he just did not look like an impactful player. And he was, you know, limping around and huffing and puffing. So if I'm a Knicks fan, I would have a lot of reasons to be optimistic about this matchup. But what I will say is, don't just summarily dismiss a team that was on a 65-win pace when their best player was healthy. Tony's in New Rochelle. What's up, Tony?
You know, this reminds me of another Thibodeau team from a few years back. If you remember that Bulls team that they ended up running into the Cavs a few times with LeBron. And it's kind of similar in the fact of the Bulls had an under 6'4 superstar also named Derrick Rose. And the problem in that series happened was when the Cavs ended up putting LeBron James on Derrick Rose, and that series
shut him down.
Over.
He shut him down.
I don't want to say Nick Batum is LeBron James in any way, shape, or form, but size-wise, they're very, very similar. 6'7", 6'8", 230, 240, long, defends well. So you kind of look at this and you say to yourself, in NBA history, how many guys have won at his height? And it's like you said, it's two guys. I was talking to the woman you have answering the phone. It's two guys. It's Isaiah Thomas and Steph Curry. And there's been a lot of guys who have gotten the team there but couldn't get over that hump. The Allen Iversons, the Derrick Roses got him to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
But it's just it's going to be tough when they throw those waves of guys at them. They have Kelly Oubre, 6'8". Mm-hmm. They have Tyrese Maxey, who's the same size as him but can defend.
Yep.
The Batum, I mean, I think the Knicks are going to have their hands full, and everybody wants to write off the 76ers. The 76ers are in no way, shape, or form a normal 7 seed. This is a 1-2 seed whose star player got hurt.
Yeah.
And the gentleman that just called and said, Joel Embiid, blah, blah, blah. Joel Embiid, when he's healthy and when he's right, is a top 5 player in the NBA. That's not debatable.
It's the playoff failures that's going to, you know, leave people if you're an opposing fan or, you know, of the opposing team, and I appreciate the call, Tony, it's the playoff failures. It's the resume, the shortcomings that's going to leave you with some optimism of going up against his team because he hasn't proven that he can do it in the biggest moments. But I agree with a lot of what you said. And the Chicago Bulls comp is perfect. I actually heard I'm going to give Chris Broussard credit the other day because that's, to me, like an apples-to-apples comparison. It's the perfect comp. Like, this Knicks team does have a little, you know, 2011 Chicago Bulls in them, and Rose wins the MVP. They didn't have great scoring options on that team, but they were led by their defense and their small point guard. And they kind of just ran roughshod over everyone during the regular season up until they ran into LeBron James and that big three in Miami in the playoffs. That's what this team does remind me of. There aren't a ton of sexy names, and there is a little bit of, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You got to watch them consistently to really appreciate what they bring to the table. They're a top 10 offense, top 10 defense. And they're going to do it with grit, and they're going to do it with hustle, and they're going to do it with a heart, no pun intended. And they're going to do it like with all the little things, the rebounding, the extra possessions, you know, big-time shots made by, you know, Dante DiVincenzo. And Achiuwa's going to get a rebound, and Mitchell Robinson's going to get a big block, and Hartenstein's going to have his floater going. So, like, this is a team that, again, on paper, you're not going to say they can do a lot of damage, but you look up, they win 50 games. They're the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. But now they're taking on an underseeded Sixers team that, just like the Knicks, feel like, hey, the bracket broke right for us. We can get to the conference finals, and then we're going to take our chances against the Celtics. 800-919-3776. Phone calls are coming in. We're going until 5:30. Looking to hear from the Knicks fans. At 800-919-3776. Quick update on the baseball Yankees 2-0 deficit in the bottom of the 10th inning down to their final out against the Rays. They got the Mets first pitch in about 45 minutes or so out in LA. Draft a week away, the Giants and the Jets. So still a whole lot on the table. Got the Rangers tomorrow. I want to hear from the Rangers fans too. It's a big series. Big, big series. Talk about pressure. Any team in New York that had more pressure in a first-round matchup that you can remember in recent history than the Rangers have against the Capitals? So we'll get into that as well. Ty Butler going to 5:30 right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Ty Butler Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All I'm going to say is this, man. If the basketball gods do actually exist, then you can't have the Knicks, the Magic, or the Lakers lose their first-round series. Like, the Knicks, in the face of everyone telling them that they should tank their last game because of an easier matchup against Indiana, decided, nah, there is no way that we spent this entire season balling out, playing our heart out with all the injuries, the trades, you know, toughness, grit, grinding it out, and we are going to get scared of Miami or Philly. Nah, we ain't doing that. The Lakers, people were saying that they should sit Anthony Davis and LeBron in a postseason game against the Pelicans so that they could be in a do-or-die matchup against Sacramento or Golden State to avoid playing Denver. Nah, hell no. And then the reason why I say the Magic is because the Cavs last Sunday were just losers and how they just punted on a game with a chance, starting the day with an opportunity to get to the number two seed, decided, no, we'd rather play Orlando in the first round. So that's why I say the basketball gods, you got to reward Orlando, got to reward the Knicks, got to reward the Lakers in the first round for going out there and wanting to smoke and not, you know, succumbing to this society of just being soft. And, you know, you can't have them lose in the first round. I thought that was so weird. We spent years crushing the NBA for load management. And people went on television and said, you know what, in the biggest games of the season, the Knicks and the Lakers should do? They should load manage. That made no sense. 800-919-3776. Bobby's in Belmore. What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, hi, Ty. I don't understand how Haliburton or Holiday are on the Olympic team and Brunson's not. I just don't understand that at all. So I just want to get your opinion about that before we get to something before the MVP talk.
Well, Haliburton and Drew Holiday being on, I think Kawhi might have been the last guy mentioned. Jalen Brunson, I guess based on the last 2 years, yeah, it's absolutely is more deserving of being on the squad as opposed to Drew Holiday, who's kind of, you know, getting up there in age, but he's a champion. A defensive stalwart, and then Haliburton. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just kind of walking through like this whole exercise of who's more deserving. And yeah, if it was my choice, I would go with Jalen Brunson.
And as far as the MVP talk is concerned, I mean, none of these teams have won over 60 games with Joker, Luka. I think Brunson should be the MVP. He's played without his two best players beside him. And for the majority of the season, at least half the season, like almost half the season, and he basically carried the team to the two seed. I can understand one of these teams won 60, 65 games. I understand the Celtics. I would rather give it to Tatum than to Joker or to Luka because, you know, the Celtics won that 55 games.
Nah, man. So I mean, you got to pay attention. I appreciate the call to the type of seasons that those guys had. Luka just finished the year 32-9-9, which is a stat line that's never been put up before in NBA history. So he had an historic season for a team that finished with the same amount of wins as the Knicks in the tougher conference. So, I mean, if you do the whole on a weighted scale, the Mavs finishing 50-32 is more impressive than the Knicks finishing 50-32 because they did it in a tougher conference. And his numbers across the board were better. More points, more rebounds, more assists. Like, he just had a better season than Jalen Brunson had. And then you look at, in modern NBA history, the guys who had a higher points per game average in a year when compared to Luka. You've got MJ. You've got James Harden. You've got Kobe. That's the list. Three guys in modern NBA history have had a higher points per game average in a season than Luka Doncic. LeBron, I'm sorry, Harden, MJ, and Kobe. That's the list. And he did so while averaging nine rebounds and nine assists for a 50-win team. So he's going to finish higher. SGA having the second youngest team in basketball as the one seed in this conference, he's going to finish higher. And Jokic continuing to be Nikola Jokic, averaging damn near a triple-double for the Nuggets, who up until the last weekend of the season were in contention for the one seed. So, look, Jalen's got a case to be, you know, top five, and I think that because of how it works, he's going to finish with a little bit of a head start next season because that momentum sometimes builds the year before. We saw it happen with Harden. Saw it happen with Embiid. Like, that, those things do take place where you can build your MVP case. As weird as it sounds, you can help build your MVP case the year before. So I think Jalen's going to start at a little bit of an advantage next year. But, yeah, those guys are going to finish higher. If I had to guess, he'll be fourth behind SGA, Luka, and Jokic. Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor. What's up, Mitch?
How's it going, Tyler? Week 7 game. You got to like the matchups. Maxey and Brunson, he's been an incredible player. All these Villanova guys, it's amazing.
Man.
This game with the guards and the Mavs, Clippers, is really interesting to see. Especially the outcomes. Both series go to Steph. Okay, I'm sorry I'll let you talk, and enjoy the games.
No, you don't got to apologize, Mitch. I appreciate the call. Yeah, Mavs-Clippers is going to be a fantastic series. You get the news today out of L.A. that, you know, Kawhi Leonard doesn't look like he's going to play in game one tomorrow. He's dealing with some knee issues. Clippers want that swelling to go down, but participated, I guess, in a light shoot-around. But that's been the story of the Clippers since Paul George and Kawhi got there, man. It's just injury after injury after injury. They've gotten to one conference finals as a duo. And in the conference finals, Kawhi didn't even play it. And this could be the last we're seeing of that group, by the way. Paul George is a free agent. Kawhi just signed an extension. But Harden could be gone. Westbrook could be gone. And Paul George could all three of those guys could be gone. And this series, Knicks-Sixers, I'm excited for it. Because as I said at the top of the show, both teams, I mean, regardless of who loses, or I should say the team that loses, it's a failed season. Sixers, injuries, be damned, that's a failure. You got to win this series. Same for the Knicks. You can't be the two seed and then get bounced in round one. Raheem's in Virginia. What's up, Raheem?
What's going on, Brother Ty? How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling, bro. What's up with you?
So I want to tell you, first of all, man, you're a smooth operator. I think you do a great job. A great job. I've been listening to you for a while now, especially during the Jets season, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the love, bro.
Absolutely, absolutely. You deserve your recognition. So I got two, you know, I got one thing I want to tell all the Knicks fans. Eminem, Mitch and Miles. When Mitch came back, he was limping around. You know, had to get his rhythm back, you know, but now he's getting healthier. Mm-hmm. And that's scary because Paul Reed is not Mitch. Let's not get it twisted. When Mitch comes off that bench and you got Ananobi out there, Miles McBride, it's going to be a torture chamber.
So and Dante, throw Dante in there as far as, like, getting after it defensively.
Absolutely, because I think Tyrese Maxey is the key to the series. And I think Oubre is going to bring a lot of energy, but I think that if you want to play the Knicks seven games, just I want everybody to think about this. If you play the Knicks seven games, you're going to be beat up, you're going to be hurt, and you're going to want to give up because Jalen Brunson has seen everything. So all that, we're going to blitz him, double team him. He's seen everything and beat everything. Just remember that because I don't hear nobody in the national media talk about it. They're going to blitz him. Nick Nurse is such a genius. Let me tell you something. Jalen is an on-court coach. He's excellent. Mm-hmm. And we better appreciate this because it ain't going to be around for long. Well, you know, it'll be 10 years down the line and we don't have it.
Appreciate the call and the love, Raheem. Mike Breen was on the K-Show yesterday and outlined that Brunson figures it out in the middle of a game. Like, he can sometimes have those lousy first halves. He comes out in the second half, and what you love about him is – like, he's not going to do too much. The shot's not falling, or if the shot's not there, he's going to find his teammates. He is going to be unselfish. He's going to operate with precision. The footwork is tremendous. The guy's got high IQ. You know, in crunch time, he's not going to fold. He's not going to shy away from the moment. I love the point about Tyrese Maxey being the key to the series, because you do ask yourself, if Maxey is incredible, do the Sixers lose this series? And maybe the answer is no. Because I can't envision, like, if Embiid, he's shown himself to be fine in the fourth quarter. But let's just say Embiid's fine, Brunson's fine. If Embiid is good and Brunson is good as well, and then you get Maxey, who's excellent. Because Maxey's the third best player in this series. So if the Sixers have either the first and third or the second and third best players in this series, do they lose it? Then the answer is probably no. So I love that takeaway as far as Tyrese Maxey is concerned. 800-919-3776. Back to your phone calls when we return. Nick Wright at the top of the hour, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Mark's in New York. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, how you doing? I'm sorry, I got to take you off. So anyway, I was trying to find, and I found, I think, the official criteria for the NBA MVP, and it does state that it's not the best player. It's the team that has had the most positive effect on their team throughout the regular season. So, I mean, they should just change it and have two awards, right?
They don't have an official criteria, Mark. The voters voters have their own, you know, personalized criteria. Team success matters.
But there is an official criteria.
There isn't
stated
one
by the NBA.
No,
there isn't one, you're saying.
No, there's not an official criteria. That's why everyone gets a vote. And that's why you see that the every year, you know, we've only had one unanimous MVP winner, and that was 2016 Steph Curry, because there's no official criteria or definition. It's really subjective.
Okay. It is subjective, but I guess maybe what I found was wrong, and I'll have to go back and do some more research.
Yeah.
Because
do that
I
research.
Found a statement that says it's the official criteria from the NBA.
Mark. You could throw that in the trash. You could throw that in the trash, Mark. Simon's in New Haven. What's up, Simon?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, man. What's going on? Talk to me. What's up?
I don't know what's wrong with these Yankee hitters. I mean, what is wrong with Rizzo? I mean, it seems like, you know, every time he's in the lineup, nothing. I mean, the Yankee hitters are so fond of grounding out and popping up all the time. It's like, are they ping pong players or are they baseball players? I mean, Nestor pitches his heart out. No run support. What is this?
Yeah, so I'm very curious because this is a very interesting phone call. What's the Yankees record?
14-7, right?
Oh, okay. Where does that rank among, like, you know, the best in baseball? Where does
I know we're the best, but I want more. I'm greedy. I'm a Yankee fan. Boone always seems
wait.
Time out.
Let's walk through this because this could be a nice therapy session. I don't want you to spend the rest of your day miserable. Like, that's no fun. It's a beautiful Saturday.
Simon.
The Yankees right now just lost to the Rays 2-0 in a game where they corralled four hits. And if you want to say that, you know, because of not just this game but yesterday when they looked lifeless prior to that comeback, and then the day before when it came back against the Blue Jays, like, there are some concerns about the offense. I understand that. But this idea that you're going to call on a day where they're 14-7, two games back of the best record in baseball. And by the way, if you look at runs scored throughout the league, the Yankees are still measuring near the top. Like, that's just dumb. That's dumb, man. Come on. You got to admit that you feel a little silly doing that.
I don't feel so. I mean, maybe a little bit, but we have to keep
they're
winning.
They're fifth
here
in the American League in runs scored. They have the second best record in the American League behind the Guardians, who they won the series. Simon, goodbye. I'm sorry. Come on. We're not going to waste our time. It's John Sterling Day at the stadium. So, you know, everyone's emotional and also positive about, you know, the career that he's had and reflecting on that. The team is winning games. They're one of the best teams in baseball right now. Soto can't stop hitting. If you want to be concerned about Judge, you want to be concerned about Rizzo, if you still have question marks about the rotation, I understand all that. But come on, man, 14-7, we ain't doing that today. Hey, we ain't doing that today. Spike's in St. Pete. What's up, Spike?
Oh, I need a palate cleanser. Simon is as consistent as a 3-year-old child. You know, I mean, sometimes he just sees the glass always half empty.
Yeah.
But that's Simon. God bless him. Stay well, Simon. Take a walk. No, he's always the same thing. He's never happy. He hates Cashman. It's baseball. It's 20 games. We got the best time of the year for guys like you and me right now. So the Knicks have played the Sixers, two very good defensive teams, four times, once with Embiid, 79, 73, 96, and 92 points for the Sixers, okay? The Knicks, you met a nice get, throwing DiPiacenzo in there. Between Anunoby, DiPiacenzo, and Hart, they deflect more passes. They're in the passing lanes. They create havoc, those guys. They've gotten a week to rest. I do believe it's overstated. I watch very carefully basketball. You know that. Embiid looks about 50%. So they're going to try and pick up the pace. Philadelphia knows that, but they don't have Doc. They have Nick Nurse, who showed his worth in the fourth quarter the other night. Embiid came through, but Embiid looked like he worked in a coal mine the whole day. He looked really spent. So I don't know how effective he'll be. And basically, I think the Knicks are a little bit better. They got the home court advantage. It's going to be a good series. The seeding's all out of whack. It's meaningless. The Knicks are not a 2, and the Sixers are on a 7. They're pretty even teams. It's a good matchup, and they always play each other relatively close. So we'll see what happens. Before you got to go and talk to your buddy, this has been on my mind. I'm hearing – this is why I don't like the national media, notwithstanding the next guest. He's very good, very, very – you can tell him I said so. He doesn't know me from Adam, but he has a very strong opinion. I like his takes most of the time. What is this deal with – if LeBron gets by Jokic, Denver's beaten the Lakers 8, 10, 12, wherever it is.
Eight straight times.
It's a mismatch. This front line of Denver reminds me of, and ask your buddy Nick Wright. Ask him. This is the best tallest front line I've seen since Parrish, McHale, and Bird. A lot of size, a lot of smarts. Coach they stuck with. I'd be shocked, Ty. You know I know my hoops, and I know you know we respect each other's opinions. We don't always agree. I will be shocked if Denver doesn't win the chip. I will. Yeah.
We'll see, Spike. Appreciate the call, man. You mentioned Nick Wright. He's coming up next. We'll get a chance to talk to him about this series, the NBA playoffs, and got a football question for him as well. So we'll talk to him next right here on 98.7 ESPN.